committee for inviting me to do this. And I'm going to talk today. I'm neither a nurse or a barber. However, this fine panel has told me I am now an honorary nurse. So I rock as a nurse now. My mother's a nurse, so I get to go home and tell her I'm now an honorary nurse. The title of my presentation is Nurses and Barbers United, Community-Placed Approach to Prostate Screenings of African-American Men. And I need to say that I do not have any financial connections or however I'm supposed to say that.
Yeah.
You see that there. The following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation, I have none. There are no relationships to disclose except the relationship that I have with the barbers in the shops. And the objective of this project is, as you can see, to promote prostate cancer screening, education about disease risk and the importance of early detection and survivorship among African-American males who frequent African-American-owned barbershops. In terms of, just before I say this, in terms, since I do have a little time, assessment of need, you all probably know the rates, the incidence of cancer or prostate cancer in the African-American community, twice as high as Caucasians. The incidence of, or the rate of death from prostate cancer, very high. As a matter of fact, African-American men have the highest rates of death from prostate cancer than any other group in the world. And we attribute a lot of that to screening, to preventive screening, whether or not people are actually going to get prostate-specific antigen tests, digital rectal examinations. We know that the jury is out on whether or not that makes a big difference or not, but we do know that early detection means that you can survive longer, that you can get treated, and your chances of survival are much better. So with that being said, our conceptual framework, actually, also it is believed that the awareness of screening and perceived risk contribute to some of the disparities. And we know that there are accurate health messages. We know that that we are out there trying to encourage people to go to the doctor. We see plenty of campaigns about the importance of preventive screening, but we also know, we believe at the Center for Minority Health, maybe it's not necessarily the message, but it might be the messenger. And maybe it's not the clinic, maybe it's more about community. You know, so with that thought in mind, our conceptual framework for doing this is around social support and social networks. And you can read that quote there from Barbara Israel. Our model that we've used, that we employ in Pittsburgh is called, we call it HARE, Health Advocates in Reach. And if you look at the picture, you can sort of get why we call it HARE. We use barbershops, we partner with barbershops and beauty salons, and we use a lay health advocate model. And we call it an advocate model rather than a lay health advisor model, because we don't believe that we want lay people, especially barbers and stylists, although they do it anyway, but giving advice, especially medical advice. But we want them to advocate on behalf of their customers or their community and themselves and their family, good health promotion practices. So we know that barbers and stylists are trusted individuals in the community, and we have set out to train them to give accurate health information to their peers and customers and create what we call a public health in the house concept. So our strategy for reaching men and doing the prostate cancer screening and education. In recognition of National Men's Health Week, which happens to be in June, also the week of Father's Day, the Center for Minority Health partnered with the University of Pittsburgh's Cancer Institute and the American Cancer Society. And actually, the American Cancer Society approached me because we had been doing some work in the shops and wanted to do their Let's Talk About It program, which is a program that actually they developed with 100 Black Men of America to get the word out to African-American men about the importance of screening, of early detection, of treatment, and of survivorship. And they actually use survivors to get the message across. So we facilitated a day of prostate cancer awareness and screening in 4 African-American-owned barbershops in 3 predominantly African-American neighborhoods. And I need to tell you, too, that we actually have a network of 10 barbershops and beauty salons slash beauty salons in five neighborhoods in Pittsburgh, and we've had that relationship with them for approximately 7 years now. So at the time that we began to do this, we had already been working with the barbershops about 3.5 years. So on two consecutive days, two separate teams, each consisting of an oncology fellow, a public health professional, that may have been me, a American Cancer Society representative, and some survivors, we went into the shops to engage customers. The only really promotion that we did at this time was maybe put some flyers and ask the barbers to let their customers know, hey, we'll be doing some screenings. But we also are cognizant of the fact that we don't want to disrupt business as usual in barbershops. You know, people go, the barbers are in there to make their money, and customers come there to get their hair cut. But also in the barbershop, people come just to hang out and chew the fat and share the current news or some rendition thereof. Program implementation. Approximately 103 men received the most recent information about prostate cancer screening, guidelines, treatment options, and side effects. Two of the shops offered education only, meaning we had flyers or brochures. We had the public health professionals, the survivors, in there talking to them about the importance of screening, what prostate cancer is. Another shop offered education and on-site prostate-specific blood testing. And the fourth shop offered the prostate-specific antigen testing and the digital rectal examination by nurse practitioners from the University of Pittsburgh Cancer Institute, in addition to the education. And when I get to the end of the slide, I'll go back and tell you how we even got to that point, because we didn't start there. Quite frankly, in full disclosure, I didn't think that that would work. Okay. Shop customers were greeted and escorted to the registration table by one of the cancer survivors, introduced to a nurse practitioner who provided a brief orientation on the PSA and DRE testing, and free clinic screenings were offered. We actually thought we would bait men to go to the clinic and get a free prostate screen. If a free prostate screen wasn't enough, we give them a voucher to get a haircut. And we reimbursed the barbers. We didn't ask them to just donate the haircut, but we reimbursed them for any free haircuts that they gave with this voucher. And the idea was men would actually sign up, make an appointment there in the shop, go to the clinic, present their voucher, get it stamped by the nurse saying, yes, he came and he got his testing done, go back, and they could trade that in for a haircut. At the Get Education Only sites, a total of 9 men made appointments to go to the clinic to get a free prostate examination. Staff members followed up with several phone call reminders to these men to keep their appointment to date. Not at that time, not one had kept their appointment. I can tell you about 3-4 months out at follow-up, less than 10%. I think the count was maybe 9 men actually went to the clinic and got their screening. At the educational PSA site, 9 blood draws were done, all within normal range. At the full service shop, 14 PSA tests, including 10 DRE exams, were done. And what's really impressive about this is that we were only in the shop for about 2 hours when we did this. And me being the critic that I was at the time, I was blown away by that. Evaluation approach, a post-program survey was administered to the shop owners, barbers, customers to assess the value of the initiative, whether participants felt encouraged to talk to their doctor, if they had one, about screenings in the future, because some of these men actually claim that they have a primary care physician, a doctor, about screenings in the future, and whether they would like to see this type of program in the barbershops more often. The Center for Minority Health and American Cancer Society staff conducted field observations, impromptu qualitative interviews with providers and survivors for feedback regarding their experiences in the shops. And the responses were very encouraging. The participants said they would like to see this type of program more in more shops and more often. And each of these different things that we did provided more process informative information. We also began to do some ethnography and semi-structured interviews. We had a graduate student that did some semi-structured interviews with the shop owners and managers. We wanted to find out about their business models and things of that nature. And also find out, you know, more about their beliefs and why is it that you're even allowing us to do this in your shops? So that's some further investigation that we plan on doing as well around that. But we wanted to just look at the appropriateness, the feasibility, and also recognizing the fact that each shop, just because it's a black barbershop, doesn't make every one of those shops alike. As a matter of fact, they're very different, very culturally different. The neighborhoods are different. The clientele they cater to are different. One may be a neo-soul. You all know what I mean by neo-soul? That's sort of like people who are in the hip-hop generation, but they're a little more cooled out than hard rap. And they have an appreciation for Marvin Gaye, you know. So that was pretty good. Write that down, Dr. Tom. I thought, look, yeah. So yeah, we'll have to add that to literature, Laura. Full service. So what we learned from this experience is talking about fighting prostate cancer in the barbershop to promote prostate cancer screening and early detection, but we need to take the full service when possible to the barbershops. So this was one of our flyers that we used to promote it. And I need to say an earlier flyer rendition had get a free haircut. Well, if you notice, we took that off because what we found was, you know, we always believe we have to incentivize. We need to give an incentive for someone to come. And what we find is that the incentive is in the procedure, is in, you know, the screening, is in the education itself. It's just bringing it to people and bring that at a level that they can appreciate and that they understand and that they'll take advantage of. So let's talk about it. Flyer there in one of the barbershops. I think, I don't know whose shoulder that is. It looks like your shoulder, Dr. Thomas. These are our nurse practitioners. Now, remember what I said, too. We are in African-American barbershops in black neighborhoods. And look at the nurse, look at the people that are actually, is everyone in the room, who's not familiar with how a man gets his prostate checked? Okay, good. No virgins in here. Right. So I actually looked at my colleagues here when they told me, Mario, let's just do it in the shops. And I looked at them like, yeah, right, you're crazy. But I'll share with you in a minute why it works and why the men in the shops, the customers, say they like having these two ladies do their prostate examinations. So these are just some numbers. These numbers reflect the program described and other shop interactions. But you can see the numbers of digital rectal exams, of PSAs, and education opportunities basically that we've done in these two-hour time periods that we've been in the barbershops over the past few years. Implications for practitioners. Prior to the program that I just described, to that evolution, that development, an initial trial was done where we didn't offer any screening in the shops. In all four shops, it was just education and an opportunity to sign up to go to the clinic and get a cut, and we had those very bad turnouts. And at the University of Pittsburgh Cancer Institute, they have an African-American cancer screening program, offers free screening or some very low-cost screening for the men in the prostate cancer. It was free screening. They were having a hard time getting men to come to their clinic in a white neighborhood to get the free screening, and so they came to us saying, we need some help with reaching people. And so we said, well, what, maybe we should try this in the barbershops. So we did the education, and from education perspective, it was a smashing success. The men were receptive, the shops were receptive. If they had a DVD player in the shop, they turned off the sports or whatever they were watching, put in a DVD to show, to give some prostate cancer education. They had the actual survivors on the TV screen talking. They had an oncologist on the screen talking, and then they had the survivors right there in the shop. And so men were excited, and they listened, and they got a little over the fear of getting a prostate examination signed up, but they didn't show up. And so what we found out based on all of that we would go ahead and pilot test what we tried, and to my surprise, the men actually showed up. I need to say this, that it would not work without the buy-in from the barbers, from the owners of the barber shop or whoever that lead person is. One, if they buy in and also model, then the other barbers will follow suit mostly, and they'll begin to talk to their customers about it. And I remember the first day, one of the stories from one of the nurses, she told me that in Big Tom's Full Service Barbershop, where we actually do the full service. The, on day one of actually trying to go back in the back room and do the screenings, just what I expected to happen did happen. Some men out in the chairs in the waiting room just hanging out wanted to laugh and ridicule those that were going in the back, because we know what just happened when you come from out the back room. And the barber stood up and said, "Stop laughing. This is not funny. This is life-saving information. This is serious business." And from that point on, it has been serious business, so much to the fact that they look forward to us coming out a couple times a year. There is anyone familiar with a jitney station? Not familiar with a jitney station. A jitney is a gypsy cab. And there are jitney stations and there are bars and all types of things around this particular shop. And men now bring their brothers, their uncles, their dads, or whatever into the shop to get these free screenings. So our lesson is, what I found out is, yes, we can do this, and that the take-home message is go to where the men are with the full service when possible. Evolution of Next Steps has really become a fertile ground for teaching. Schools of nursing, our schools of health sciences, as well as others, are now bringing their nursing students into the barbershops to get community-based cultural confidence training. So they come in, sophomore nursing students practice doing blood pressures. Senior students are doing their senior rotations in the black community through our network of barbershops. We're really excited about that. The Black Nurses in Action Society, they're beginning to partner with us and do more work in the barbershops. And we're also seeing we're getting lots of requests to do more, to expand. Other shops and salons in Pittsburgh are saying, we want to participate. We haven't found a way to clone me yet, although I have my colleague Vicky Garner there and Tiffany and Dr. Thomas as much as possible, you know, to get out in the community and do this work as well. So it's all about resources. Here's some references. I did leave handouts back on the back table if you'd like to pick those up. Some acknowledgments. Tiffany Kenny is my project assistant extraordinaire. There's a lot of front work that goes into this. And this dedication, I always do a dedication to Mr. Willie Thomas there, who became one of my biggest advocates. He was the hardest barber for me to reach. I used to go to the shop, Laura, back and forth. Is Mr. Thomas in? Finally, I got him one day, and he said, "If you really want to talk to me, I show up here about 6 in the morning. So come see me then before the shop opens." But once he got on board, it was over. He became my biggest advocate, and Mr. Thomas died a few years back. But we keep him in high regard and high memory. His thing was home with a tighten up. Come and get it tightened up. So when people come and visit us in Pittsburgh, we make sure they sit in the seat and they get tightened up. Thank you. Any questions?